ministry. I pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, I'm rolling tape, and we're talking about the power of his resurrection this morning.
Yes.
And we are ready, so you can go ahead and start whenever you're ready, Dr. Wickham.
Thank you. One of the most powerful portions of the Bible dealing with the true gospel, the good news of how people in sin can have that sin immediately, totally, and forever forgiven, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, in which you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And now, notice carefully, dear friends, how the content of the true good news of salvation is enunciated to the Apostle Paul. "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then the 12, and 500 brethren at the same time, and then James, the half-brother of Jesus, and then the 12 apostles, and Paul himself." Friends, isn't it amazing that the gospel is not simply that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day, but the gospel is that these truths are according to the Scriptures. It says that twice. Why? Because unless we have the context in the Bible of who Christ is and what it means when it says he died and what sins are and what his resurrection really involved, then we cannot enter into the truth that the gospel contains. In other words, it's not just rumors, traditions, opinions of men. The actual substitutionary death of the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, on that cross, on your behalf and mine, as he died for the sins of the world, and was buried, which proves he died, and rose again the third day to accomplish God's eternal purpose in our redemption, to confirm his victory over Satan and the power of death, is all confirmed by what the Bible teaches. It's according to the Scriptures. And again, in verse 4, according to the Scriptures. There's something about this book, the Bible, which the third person of the Godhead has authored through 2,200 years, from Job to John on the island of Patmos, that is self-authenticating and infinitely powerful. The Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It brings conviction, it brings illumination, it brings conversion to those who hear and respond. Now, of course, Paul is very aware of the fact that many people who claim to be Christians and even claim to believe in the resurrection are not real believers because they don't have a commitment to the truth of the resurrection. Maybe they can repeat the formula. Maybe they will mentally accept what a preacher or teacher says, but in their heart it has never really taken place as a transaction between them and God. And that was my condition as an evolutionist. In 1943, I came to Princeton University as a total godless evolutionist. By the end of that year, through a campus witness, a student who believed in Jesus Christ, invited me to a Bible class, and through that ministry, I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus as the one who not only died in my place on the cross, but rose again from the dead the third day. Explains here, beginning in verse 12, we're in 1 Corinthians 15:12, "If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead."
Dr. Wickham?
Yes.
Could you start that sentence over, please? You were breaking up on me.
Yeah, there's something wrong with my phone, I guess. Right.
And let me ask you this real quick, too. In 1943, when you came to know the Lord,
yes.
I guess you had to to put your faith in evolution aside and put it in Christ, right?
That's right. Yes, praise God. It was a total change in my life, from which, thank the Lord, I have never recovered.
Well, was it hard for you, being an evolutionist, to accept the truth of the gospel?
Well, the one who led me to the Lord, who was a missionary in Afghanistan and came back to Princeton from whence he had graduated, he did not argue with me about creation and evolution. He just simply explained to me who the Creator himself really is, Jesus, the Son of God. And, of course, the New Testament says all things were made through him, the Word, the Logos, the Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. Until I came to know who Christ really is, I had no basis, no foundation, no perspective on Genesis, you see, on creation. So that's where it had to start, and I believe that's where it has to start in every heart. Until we know who Jesus is through faith in his finished work and his resurrection from the dead, all these things about how the world began are permanently obscure to us.
Great. So can you please continue on then? Again, that line again, because we cut out. But you're doing good now. I mean, I don't hear any breaking up now.
Okay, good. The Apostle Paul, of course, was aware of people who claimed to believe in Christ and even in his resurrection, but didn't understand what they said they believed. So in 1 Corinthians 15:12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? And then Paul explains the total, eternal disaster of such a position. To say, yes, I believe in his resurrection, but really I don't believe, actually, that people can rise bodily from the grave. Paul says you can't do that. Because if in this life only we have hope in Christ, in other words, if it's just sort of a psycho thing to make us feel better, some formula that we repeat to give us some kind of an assurance, not based on reality, not based on what God has said. Paul says, we are of all men most miserable. But then triumphantly, in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, now listen carefully, dear friend, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, the point is this, that Christ is the first human being ever to have received a resurrection glorified body. Now, his resurrection, therefore, had total disconnection with previous so-called resurrections, like Lazarus, whom Jesus himself raised from the dead after he was dead for 4 days. Lazarus had to have the stone removed, and he had to have the grave clothes removed. Loose him and let him go, Jesus said to the people around him. But Jesus didn't have to have the grave clothes removed. He just vanished right through them, and the stone that blocked his tomb was not removed by the angel to let him out, but to let the disciples in to see where he had been. Because Jesus vanished right through the stone, walked right through a closed door into an upper room where the terrified disciples were gathered, 10 of them at first, and later the 11th, Thomas, a week later. So he's the first fruits, the first actual example of a vast harvest that shall follow, of genuine bodily resurrection unto glory, with a different physical form, a genuine body, but tuned into a different reality than the one we know today. The dynamic of our present body, of course, is blood. But Jesus, in his resurrection, said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. His blood was gone, but the dynamic of his resurrection glorified body was totally different. And so will our experience be, because we keep reading here in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Yes, he's the first fruits, but we are the harvest. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. And I say, dear friend, are you reprogrammed by God for bodily resurrection, even the rapture without even dying, where we will instantaneously receive a glorified body without dying? Of course, that's explained, is it not? In 1 Corinthians 15:51, We shall not all sleep. That's the sleep of death, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now that's imminent. It could happen at any moment. That's the blessed hope of the church, that we, without even dying, shall inherit a glorification based on what? The experience of our Lord Jesus, who is the first fruits of them who had slept in the sleep of death. Now you say, well, how can we really know this is true? Well, the answer is, God's own word is self-authenticating. And that's why Paul could say in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, now listen carefully, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, what does that mean, from the heart? Answer, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In other words, friends, God deals with that aspect of our personal human nature that he created and designed to be able to respond to the self-authenticating word that he speaks as illumined by the Holy Spirit. And when even a little child, therefore, is capable of believing. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18, 3, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. You see, a little child can respond to God's precious word. And we're not minimizing the importance of what? Historical proofs and logical demonstrations, which all confirm that Jesus really did rise from the dead. But you see, the heart of man is where the ultimate issues are determined. When God speaks, we don't say, who do you think you are talking to me, sir? No, we must respond immediately, totally, or our destiny is an eternal hell. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So when God's Word, authored by the Holy Spirit through human writers, speaks to us of who Jesus is, why he died, how and why he rose 3 days later from the dead. 3 days, of course, showing us that it happened in history, chronology being the backbone of history, which is the frame of reference within which all God's truth is revealed. Yes, the third day, in a real world, a real person, in a real place, experienced a real event. He instantaneously passed from the realm of the dead into the realm of glorified human life. He's a human being forever. He is God, man, and one person. And he is glorified as the first fruits, the first example of what we shall be when we too will be raised from the dead or raptured without dying. What a blessed hope that is. The Easter message is that Jesus, God's own Son, died and rose again, that we too might with him someday rise and live with him forever.
Right, Dr. Wickham, thank you. What a